Hello, everyone.
Hey, guys.
Welcome back to the podcast.
It is a double feature week for our dad.
This is the first time we've ever done this. Two movies in one shot.
Yeah. And we're going to try and keep it at a reasonable length in terms of how long this episode will go. But we are doing both The Man from Snowy River and Return to Snowy River in one episode. Happy birthday, Dad.
This is his like favorite movie all time?
All time. I really do think it's all time. It's one of those things where it's like we can't decide what to watch, and occasionally he'll just be like, Man from Snowy River?
And everyone's like, oh, roll your eyes. But we will see if we actually kind of enjoy it just along with him.
Yes.
Even though we might roll our eyes a little bit.
To be clear, the first one technically is not a Disney movie, but we compromised because I was like, well, we can't start with The Return to Snowy River, which is actually made and produced by Disney. We had to do both of them because I felt like you needed the whole story. But that's why it's a double feature week, is because one of them is Disney and one of them isn't. Trying to keep the rules here, I guess. Do we have rules for this?
Yes, the fake podcast? Rules. We adhere to the fake rules
that
very
we make
strictly.
Up on a weekly basis.
I'm excited, though. I'm excited for this opportunity. And I was pretty adamant. I was like, if we're going to do this, The Man from Snowy River, we're doing it, first of all. I don't care if
Disney
produced
it. Yeah, he was pretty
adamant
about just like doing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is happening, so I am excited to be here. All right. So let's jump into it.
Story time, Corbin.
Story time.
Should we start with some box office?
Let's do some box office.
Okay, so, where's the box office for? Let's do Man from Snowy River first and then Return.
That makes sense because Man from Snowy River came out in 1982.
I'm not an 80s person, but this was...
You have to dig here to get to the Man from Snowy River.
Okay.
It is
Australian produced, though, right? So it wasn't like...
What do we have against the Australians?
Well, I'm just saying it wasn't like an American-made movie that we were pushing on our televisions and stuff.
Yeah, the Americans and the English, so good at their movie making.
English, I will give them some credit.
Well, we'll see about that. So anyways, The Man from Snowy River in 1982 came in at number 92.
Oh, no. Team, what have we done?
So
it's a cult classic.
Movies that it was just below, The Last Unicorn Evil Under the Sun.
Oh, really? I didn't know that movie.
Oh, you do?
That's an Agatha Christie movie.
Okay,
our favorite man with what's his Peter Ustinov.
Okay.
From Blackbeard's Ghost.
All right, so
there you go, team.
There was a real competition for number 91, and Evil Under the Sun won that one. Now, again, just to provide some context, 1982, this is the year of E.T., Indiana Jones and the Lost Ark, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Rocky III. So there's some good stuff coming out, but I am still a little bit stunned. I am reeling from the fact that Man from Snowy River came in at number 92.
That is so low. And again, I think it's because it was like a bit of a quiet movie, right? Like it's not one that...
Well, it was only released in 500 theaters.
Yeah, it was very... It was almost like an independent film. It wasn't independent, but it kind of had that vibe. Just not a lot of people seeing it. Well, I'm curious now. Give us the box office for Return. Because Disney sees this movie and decides, hey, let's make another one. So they were impressed enough to pick
it
up.
Well, we need closure here. Jim, Jessica...
Just rides off.
What's going on? I'm sure that's what Disney's like. We don't even care about the story. We just need closure.
Yeah, I just need emotional closure. Yep. So how did that one do?
So 1988.
Okay, so it's 6 years.
6 or 7 years later. Math.
We can do this.
Return to Snowy River comes in at number 78.
Hey, that is shameful, but I will take the 20 spot move up.
Yes. So just to give you some context here, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles came at 74, Poltergeist 3, 75, Stand and Deliver 76, The Milagro, Beanfield War 77.
What in the world?
So this was also the top movies of this year, which is even more depressing, 1988. Who Framed Roger Rabbit number one?
That is depressing.
I mean,
that's
looking back.
That's the top of the depressing train.
Looking back, Walt Disney Studios, what was the crown jewel in 1988? Definitely not that one.
Hey, it won an Oscar, didn't it? Or got nominated at least. Yeah.
Idiots. Number two, Coming to America. Three, Good Morning, Vietnam.
Good Morning, Vietnam.
Four, Big. Five, Crocodile Dundee 2.
What?
So on and
okay,
so forth.
Okay, wait a minute. Crocodile Dundee 2. Is doing better. Guys, okay, let us know. How many of you have actually seen these movies? Because I get a feeling that nobody saw them then, and maybe not a lot of people have seen them now. Or is this like a Princess Bride situation where it kind of came out, no one cared, but now everybody cares? So let us know if you even know these movies. And if you haven't watched them, shame on you.
Are you talking to the man from Story River?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just, there's a lot of movies I just threw out
there.
Sorry,
that was very vague. I apologize. But yeah. Okay. Are you ready for my story time contribution?
Yes. Why not?
Again.
Since we're here.
Grain of salt, guys. IMDb, we have learned. Yeah, they're not always fully honest.
Okay, so fill us with some false facts.
Here's some false facts. I'm saying that because if this is true, I am, color me, enormously impressed. IMDb said that Tom Berlinson, who plays Jim Craig, hadn't ridden a horse, and he did all of his own stunts.
Okay, I heard something similar. Okay. Researched.
Research.
Went into the archives, and I heard that he was certainly not an expert horseman.
Yeah.
He was an amateur, but he did his stunts.
Yeah.
So there, the truth is somewhere
in
there.
Going down the mountain.
Uh-huh.
See, and this is the thing. I'll be honest. This is little French horn action. I'll be honest. Like, he's so good in this movie. I don't know where I got this from. I honestly thought this was like a miracle situation where they got a horseman and had him
taught
act,
him how to act.
But they didn't. That's how good he is. So I am enormously impressed.
Oh, it was very impressive. I was watching very carefully in both movies when he was, I mean, that shot, I was like, are they just tilting the camera diagonally and he's really just riding down a flat plane with his arm back, you know?
Woohoo!
You know, a little trickeration there. No, it was very real going down the mountain. And
the thing at the first of Return to Snowy River where he's like doing the course with the whip.
The thing.
I mean, I can't even get over it. I can't get over it.
How did he not win an Oscar for this?
That's what I'm saying. You know when they like learn to play the piano, like Ryan Gosling learned to play the piano for La La Land? This is a whole other level, guys. This is learning to ride a horse like you've been riding a horse your whole life. And he actually found like he had, like he kind of like has like a connection with horses. Like he's like, oh my gosh, this is a thing.
This is a thing.
It's not, yeah, like the relationship he was able to build with the horses just kind of, it all came naturally to him.
Mm, interesting.
What?
Very impressed, though. You watched, I mean, that's one of the more impressive parts amongst many things, but just seeing the horsemanship going
on.
Oh,
my goodness.
And you watch the credits, which aren't very lengthy nowadays. It just goes
everybody
on.
Everybody and their mom.
They have to insert movie credit, like literal scenes into the credits because people are just so over all the words.
I will say that was really nice. It was like, we're just going to close this out. The movie said what it needed to say and we were out.
But one of the big chunks of the credits were the people doing the stunts, taking care of the horses, riding the horses, which was, it was amazing.
And I will say this, as I was watching this movie, because I mean, we know Westerns. Our dad loves.
Oh yes, we are totally.
I mean, we're not like super versed.
We wear our spurs to bed.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying Western movies. Like we know John Wayne movies. Like, we know what the Western movie looks like. This is a different genre, I feel like, because there is like a reverence when it comes to the way that they are showing horses. Like, it's not all about the cowboy riding the horse and getting the girl. Like, they have the scenes where they do them in slow motion and they take the sound away and just bring the music in. And you're just like, it is beautiful the way they like highlight these horses and really like show the care and the beauty of them. Anyways, that's my... Corbin's very emotional over here.
Yeah,
he's got a piece of dust in his eye.
I think it's because we're talking about horses so much because I'm super allergic.
Corbin is so allergic.
I get like my eyes swell up and
it's
I'm sneezing
so
my
sad.
Guts out. I love horses if they're
from
like
a distance.
200 yards away. Any closer and I could smell it. I'm just like, there's a horse or someone has looked at a horse recently.
Corbin,
I start to feel allergic.
He got his Eagle Scout, but in order to get his horsemanship merit badge, he stood outside the barn and watched from like 50 yards away as they did all of the horse
and
stuff.
I know that people out there are going to be like, oh yeah, he's just making this up. No, it's a problem. It's
like,
a serious problem.
Yeah. It's like kind of on my peanut allergy level. Like we probably should get you
even,
an EpiPen for your horse
it's
allergy.
It's probably more extreme than that.
All right. My other story time, this, The Man from Snowy River is based off of a poem
yes.
by a guy named Banjo Patterson, what a name, love it, and it was published in 1890. I was reading part of it, and it's really cool because it was talking about how Clancy...
Is it a long poem?
I think it is longer, yeah. But this section,
so it's like a book. I don't like poems.
It's not a book.
I do not like poems that are multiple pages.
It is multiple pages, I think, but it's not quite a book.
You lose me. I'm just like, give me like four lines. That's good poem.
That's fair. No, this part was talking about how like Clancy pulled up and the man from Snowy River just went flying down. Like he like lets out a yell and just goes flying down the mountain, and Clancy watches him do the scene where he's leaning way back.
Yeah. Okay.
And
so that's.
Yeah. It was so cool. I loved the poem. So anyways, there you go, kids. Any other story time, Corbin?
I do have a story time. So in 1982, The Man from Snowy River, we have Kirk Douglas,
yes,
which is a pretty big name. I mean,
yeah, for like how low key this movie, like I don't know how they got him. He must have loved the story and he got to play two parts.
He got to play two parts, right? He got to be like a crusty old, and I'm from what I understand, the guy was just not a happy person on set. But anyways, Kirk Douglas, the reason why he did not come back in the second movie, and it's a little startling if you've never seen these movies before.
Didn't even try to like make it look like the same person.
They're just like, you know what?
Forget it.
We're going to, this guy is tall, lanky, and lurpy. Okay, let's go for more stout, round.
Big mustache.
Father Harrison here. But from what I understand, again, who knows what's true anymore, but the reason why Kirk Douglas did not come back is because he wanted to direct the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I read too.
And they did not want to do that. The producer actually ended up directing the movie himself.
Which is so dumb. I'm like, seriously, dude?
Sometimes
maybe
when you
Kirk Douglas was hard to work with, so they were all like, no thank you. But I don't know. I would have liked to see him come back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I thought he did his performance.
Direct.
He was very easy to hate as the father of Jessica. But I think it still works.
It does.
We'll get to that.
We'll unpack.
I found that to be very interesting that there was a little bit of drama going between the producers and the directors.
I found it interesting that he actually considered coming back. I thought it was one of those things where he was like, yeah, I'm done. You couldn't pay me enough money to come back. But he was like, I'm willing to come back if I can direct. So, I mean, I found that interesting, you know, because like you said, such a big name in such a
amazing movie. That's exactly
what
you're saying.
That's at 92.
Yes.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Okay. We're going to move into character face-off. As we said, we're going to be doing both movies at the same time. So we're going to be comparing the first movie, Jim, versus the second movie, Jim, Jessica versus Jessica, Harrison versus Harrison. And then we will get into some other side characters as well. So we're going to do a little comparison and see which we preferred and which we liked best.
Okay.
So Corbin, our first face-off, let's just start at the top of the list here. Jim Craig in Man from Snowy River versus Jim Craig in Return to Snowy River. What did you see in the difference? Who'd you like better?
Okay. Well, first of all, Jim Craig, I think that's just a brilliant name.
Oh, isn't it though? It just rolls off the dang tongue.
Jim Craig.
And you got to say it with the accent too. Jim Craig.
Which we're probably doing a terrible
job.
I know.
Everyone's like, was there an accent in there? Guys, turn it up a little louder and listen really carefully.
There's a little Jim twinge Craig at the end. Okay. But his name is phenomenal. But in the first movie, I really like the fact that, I mean, you see Jim Craig, Tom Berlinson, and he is young.
He is so young.
And the way that they wrote his character and the way he acted, it was very believable in the sense that he was very impulsive.
Mm-hmm.
He thought he was bigger than his, you know, he really was.
Well, I mean, I feel like he filled the britches usually. Like, you know, he lived up to the job.
No, there were moments where everyone's just kind of like, what are you talking about, buddy? This is my homestead. This is my house now. And everyone's just like, you're 12 years old.
He's
okay,
not
buddy?
12.
But I really like that. It worked. Like the way he's, how young he looked and the way he was acting, being impulsive, chasing after his Bessie, I think was the name of the horse.
Yeah, the horse that got away with the Brumbies.
And so I really liked the first movie. I thought I was going to be a little bit like, oh, boy, here
Corbin
we go.
Corbin does have a hard time with the teenage boy.
But I was very impressed with that.
I will say this. I liked him in the first movie. I felt like the second movie, Tom Berlinson as an actor seemed to have a better handle on... Because Jim Craig is pretty, his emotional range is like, he's pretty good, easygoing, nice guy, and then he can like get super
angry.
There's
a switch, yeah.
But in terms of like, I'm just comparing when his dad dies versus when Denny dies in the second one. Really though, like I
it's a terrible comparison.
Because
he's
though.
Much more distraught about Denny dying.
But I feel that scene is, I think he as an actor it's had a better good. Handle on how to do that scene emotionally.
Yeah.
Whereas the him being distraught over his dad dying, maybe it was the way that they filmed it or the way they wrote it, but it just felt rushed and like he wasn't quite ready to do that as a Jim Craig.
I don't think his dad died.
Okay, then what was the whole point of the first movie?
But no, I'm just saying the way it happened, and he's
just
kind of
like, took a nap in the logs.
It looks like that. I mean, the log falls, and then all of a sudden he's just kind of laying there looking up at the sky, and it's not like he's suffering or he's just kind of sitting there like thinking about his mind.
Maybe he's not
and
in pain.
Spur
That's
and
lovely.
His wife, and he's just like, huh, I just got hit by a massive log. And then all of a sudden he's. His spirit has left, you know, and you're just kind of like, wait a second.
In like this mid yeah, sentence.
You're kind of a little bit.
It's like Jim goes to like pick something up and comes back and.
He puts a coat on him or gone. Something and he's just like, oh, this is nice and cozy.
Yeah. And then Jim goes over and like takes like five beats and then just screams no. Which was good, but I'm just telling you, it hit me more with Denny. Like even when I was little, that scene with Denny. Coming like when they he shoots Denny and they the whole thing I couldn't watch it. It distraught me to like have the horse get shot and fall on him and then to have it die and it really looked dead. So as a kid I was just like totally heartbroken.
And his performance in like just grabbing his hair and like what have I done.
It's not he doesn't oversell it in that point. Like I said, I think he has a better handle on what Jim Craig would do in that situation and he does such a good job.
Okay, I have been swayed. I wanted to go first movie Jim Craig because of the things I talked about, but that moment with Denny as connecting with I don't even know, what's the leader of the Brumbies, right? The not the Brumbies, but the
he calls him old man. I don't know what you call him. Does he have a name? The like black. He's essentially the black stallion.
Basically, yes.
But he calls him old man.
But that moment when they connect with each other and they're racing through, and then the way he just beats the crud out of Alistair Patton.
Oh my gosh, we'll get to him in a second.
I think I'll give it to the second Jim Craig.
Really, but the fun thing is like it's about the progression, right? Like seeing him, you're not disappointed in who Jim Craig becomes at the end. Because sometimes you like keep seeing these characters grow throughout movies, and you're just kind of like, I don't like where this is going. This one, like the progression was good. For example,
oh boy,
oh guys, this is so controversial. We haven't watched these movies in a minute, so maybe I'll change my mind. I don't know that they ever get there with Luke Skywalker. The Mandalorian and Boba Fett are helping slightly.
Slightly.
But you don't ever feel like you get there with
him. So you'd take Jim Craig over Luke Skywalker in a fight.
Oh, heck yeah. Come on now.
I kind of would agree.
Yes.
Not kind of. I would agree.
I'm totally.
Jim Craig is pretty high up on hero list. And I love the fact that he has this recognition amongst the folk. Down
the
mountain
there. Folk?
Not even the mountain folk. Like, he's just riding around, and people are like, that's Jim Craig.
And that's in the second one.
And he's just still a cool, grounded dude that just is doing his thing and trying to win Jessica's heart.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, Jim Craig. And what did we watched the first one together, and I was so excited. I mean, the most subtle little hat tip, and you're just like...
His hat tip is better in the first movie. The second movie, it's a little bit like... Okay, all right, yeah. But then I've seen that before. Put it away, find something else.
No, because it's like him and Jessica's language, right? Like, she knows that's for her, and it's part of their emotional connection.
You know, when we start doing videos someday, who knows when.
Oh, geez.
I might do an analysis between the two hat tips. I think the second one was a little deeper.
Corbin's going to go sport.
It wasn't as subtle.
He's going to be sports center status and put them side by side and give us the play-by-play.
Yeah.
Okay, so are we ready to move into Jessica versus Jessica?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, we got Jessica from
Can I say something about her just real quick
Please,
off the bat?
Yeah.
Her hair. I mean, talk about...
I will say this. I like it better in the first movie because they let it be natural. Second movie, they were trying to give it the 80s puff. Like where they
it was puffy, man.
They like tried to blow it out and make it afro-y.
Uh-huh.
But in the second movie, they just let it be what it was, and it was awesome. I love that it's natural. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's sure. There was a couple moments where I was like, how does she manage that mane? That is something else.
Naturally curly hair.
I mean, you don't even have a pillow to sleep at night. You just lay down. You got
most of it in the second one is air, to be clear, because they've like poofed it out so much.
Yeah,
okay.
Yes.
Jessica in the first movie versus Jessica in the second movie. Who'd we like better? Was there progress? What say you?
Was there progress? As if there needed to be? I don't know. She's quite the firecracker. I thought she was much more tame in the second one.
I don't. She was, in the sense that, like, she has a better handle on, I know how to get what I want.
No, hold on. I'm so confused. In the second movie, I'm like, what is she still doing there? In the first movie, it sets her up as if she's like, I'm in charge of my life. I'm not going to be told what to do, which is great. I love that. But that means it's 6 years later or something like that in the second movie. And you're like, she's still here? Like, she hasn't run away from her dad yet?
Well, I get the feeling her and her dad's dynamic in the second movie is interesting, because I love that I don't think I was ever listening when we watched these movies previously to, like, the actual character development and plot. He tells her, he's like, when you're in charge of this place. And she's like, wait, like, you're okay with that? And he's like, yeah. So they're getting to a point where he's kind of like, okay, you know what? I'm seeing that you are pretty awesome at your job and with horses. And I'm willing to give in some places, but not others.
I just had this image of fake Harrison Dad in the first movie, and then real Harrison Dad in the second movie shows up and is like, you know, that guy before, that, you know, crusty old man, I took care of him. We tricked you, but I'm here now and I'm going to give you the ranch.
Yeah. Yeah. But they have progressed. I just love, she's just so awesome. Can I just tell you one of my favorite scenes with her? There's two. One is very obvious and one isn't. The obvious one is when she wins the jockey, when she's the jockey on the horse and wins, okay, and takes her hat off and is just like, what up? Oh my gosh. I love that scene.
Okay.
But the one that's subtle is, I never paid attention to this scene, probably because I was like, ew, the lovey-dovey
stuff.
Well,
we might have fast-forwarded it. We skipped a lot of this.
We did, because it was boring. We're like, boo.
Dialogue. Oh, story. The worst.
We want the action. I love when her and Jim are up in the mountains together, and they're like, collecting all the horses together, mm-hmm, and getting, it's so subtle, and then she's like so tired, and she's like, I've never been so exhausted, but so happy. And you're just like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. So anyways, I never noticed that scene. It was so nice to her to be flourishing in an environment where she felt like she could be herself. So I think for me, I mean, Jessica's great all around. I'll take her any which way.
You must choose, Sheriff Woody.
But based on what I just said, I think my favorite Jessica moments are in the second one.
Okay. Hmm.
Though I do love when she's playing the piano in the first one and she's totally like so bad. And her aunt gets on her about it. And then Jim comes in and all of a sudden she just kind of like softens and is like, plays it much more like
with more feeling.
With more feeling and emotion. Passion. And her aunt's just like, what just happened?
Oh, she knows. She's
two?
Like, oh, someone's in love.
Someone is putting the moves on.
I'm not sure. I want to be contrarian, but I think I'm going to go with number two as well.
What are your favorite Jessica moments?
I keep thinking about the moment where she falls off the cliff. I mean, that's very perilous.
That's your favorite moment, huh?
That's not my favorite moment, but I just keep, that's
I like
a very
the moment where she falls off the cliff,
where she's screaming. She has
that
lots
feels
of,
very real.
She has lots of moments in the movie where her eyes are kind of bloodshot from tears and frustration and anger.
Yeah.
So those are kind of the things I remember about her:
bloodshot eyes and screaming.
I do love the fact that she is quite the horsewoman.
Yeah. Like, legit
when they're chasing
knows her
down
stuff.
When they're chasing down Alistair, it's not, okay, Jessica, you stay back there. We're going to go take care of this guy. She was right in the thick of it.
She was, and she went and gathered up everybody. That is a great moment when her and the mountain people, and then her dad and his guys show up, and her dad's just like, well, let's go. You're like, yeah.
That was a little abrupt.
No, it was great.
I mean, I like the dad being all on board, but he had said some pretty harsh things. And that's some pretty harsh feelings toward the mountain people.
Yeah. Are we ready to switch into Harrison versus Harrison
there? Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So this is our first one where, I mean, like we said, there was a recasting. First movie, we've got Kirk Douglas. Second movie, Brian Denny. Who did you prefer? Did the recasting work and flow for you? What do you think?
Again, there were specific moments with Harrison that I just can't stop thinking about. When he smacked his daughter,
it
made me uncomfortable. And that's like, what is this, 40 years later?
That
I was just like, oh boy, like that.
Yeah. And I don't know that there was enough, like,
there wasn't any reconciliation.
she may have gotten over it a little too quickly. She did leave, though, which I was like, yeah, girl, you get on that horse and you leave because your dad's got problems. Oh, yeah.
And then the question about asking Spur, his brother,
if it was really his daughter.
Yeah, and you're just like, dude, you've got issues, man.
And I love this. That's Spur's reaction. He's like,
of course she's your daughter.
If you have to ask that, you're an idiot.
Good for Spur.
Oh,
yeah, he
man.
Had some issues. So, I mean, just from that reason alone, how uncomfortable I feel. Now, I think the performance was good.
He was so good. And he was good in both roles. He was so good as Spur and so good as Harrison.
But it just made you so feel so uncomfortable that you're just like, ah, man, I like the Brian Denny Harrison better because you get to see the redemption side.
And you see him starting to not soften, but he is like trying to control things. Like control, you know, you can see him trying to get a handle on his anger. I love when he's like in mid yell because the butler's going to come pour him a drink. And he's like, I can get my own. And he's like, and the guy's sitting there, the really posh guy that's like, oh.
Patton.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, never mind. I can let the butler give me a drink. It's fine.
That's one of my favorite scenes with Harrison is when he's talking to the banker. And the banker's accusing Jessica of ruining everything and ruining Alistair's life.
This is his redemption.
He slams the desk. He gets up and he's like, not much longer ago, or not, what does he say? He says,
not long ago, you would have been dead.
You'd be dead right now. And you can see the restraint. Uh-huh. And then he takes his loan and stuffs it in his jacket and then pushes him out the door.
Yes, agreed.
So there's moments like that where you're like, all right, buddy, you're still kind of a punk.
But he's trying to get a handle on it.
Yeah.
Which is good. It was good to see growth.
So I'll go with, I keep picking the number two, like Return to Snowy River.
Well, to be fair, I think, again, it's the progression of the story and the characters, right? Like, we like the characters more, like, when they're in that more finished state. I feel like this is like Iron Man and Iron Man 2. Iron Man 1 is so hard for us because that is Iron Man at his worst.
Like it.
It's at his worst, but we liked Iron Man 2 a little more because he was less of a mess, you know? So it's just that natural progression, I think. But I will say, like, such a rare movie where they recast one of the main characters and it still works.
Agreed.
And it's like we talked about, completely opposite in terms of, like, physicality.
Do you remember as children when we were watching this movie? I think we just accepted it.
Yeah.
We're very open-minded. But I'm pretty sure there was
Corbin
a conversation.
Corbin Brown was like, what?
It was kind of like, wait. Which one's the real dad? You know, like, what's going on here? But anyways, I think I got over it. Still enjoyed it.
So. Yeah. I mean, who would have thought Brian Denny would overtake
outclass an
actor like Kirk Douglas? But man, but then you've got this, like, I want Kirk Douglas there because he does Spur. So it's like, you add that in and you're like, Kirk Douglas was amazing.
We kept watching. We were watching this, the first movie together, and Spur has a peg leg and you're like, how did they fold the rest of his leg up into his pants? Because you couldn't see it.
Yeah. There was like no extra bulge. His thigh looked exactly the same size as the other one. And we were watching really carefully when Spur and Harrison would be in the same room together.
Or in the same scene.
Yeah. To see like how it looked. And we watched really carefully and they were so good at making sure that Spur was in just the right spot and just far enough away that if you saw him in a blur, it looked like Kirk
Douglas.
Blur.
Yeah, they did a good job with that. We were trying to catch him, though. We were trying to see.
It was like the Parent Trap again, where we were like, wait a second.
What are they trying to pull here?
What are you trying to pull? Yeah. Okay, are we ready to move into other characters?
Let's do it.
What do you got, Corbin? This is off the cuff for you. You've got some
comparisons. So there's some similar type of roles in the first movie and the second movie, but different characters. So the first one I want to throw at you is, in the first movie, I had Clancy.
I love Clancy.
And Clancy is the dude.
Oh, he is so the dude.
He is Jim Craig before Jim Craig.
Yes, except Clancy has a mustache, so he kind of may win out on Jim Craig.
Okay.
Even at Jim Craig.
Which takes us to the next mustache in Return to Snowy River. Colonel,
Hawthorne? Is it Hawthorne?
Hold on a second.
Oh my gosh. He even took time before we started to look.
Hawker. I was going to say Hawkins, but it's Colonel Hawker. Okay, so who would you take? Clancy or Colonel Hawker?
Oh, man.
And Hawker, he has some moments with Jim where it's not just he's kind of a friend in a way, But he gets Jim. He does. When he's like, there's a better way to make your point, Jim, when he's about to just...
And they had just met.
Yeah. He's about to just pound Alistair's face in front of everybody.
Which I wouldn't have minded.
I know. I've been like, no, I think that's the best way to make a point.
This is the right choice.
This is it.
But then he goes off and does his like super cool man thing and you're like, never mind. This is
Hawker
awesome.
Was right.
I have to take Clancy just for like, he's just got the cool factor. I will say Hawker though does provide more of like a financial growth and opportunity in terms of like, he's not just a friend to Jim, but he's also like, look, I'm willing to like work with you to like make your business as breeding horses. I'm willing to work with you to make that work and help you have somebody to buy horses. So that is nice, but Clancy's just got the style card. So
I'm going to give an argument to Hawker. You ready for this?
Okay.
Hawker is the hero of the story.
Oh, that's...
He brings the mountain people.
He does. The opportunity for them to come together.
Because he's buying their horses. Mm-hmm. He's buying the horses of the rich and wealthy in the lowlands. And then he goes up and starts buying Jim Craig. But not only his horses, but the rest of the folks up there.
Yeah, because they don't have enough horses with just one person.
And so I feel like he's the unifying force for this through this whole mess.
I think
because they were on the verge. There's this conflict going on, bubbling, where you could see that the people in the lowlands wanted to come up and take the land away from the people in the mountain. And Patton refers to this in terms of legislation and things like that.
Don't even get me started.
So I think Hawker is actually the sneaky hero of the movie.
I mean, I think Hawker provides the opportunity, but Jim is definitely the one who... I just love that line from Jessica where she's like, you don't need to worry about it because Jim has a way of getting people to do what he wants. Which is true. Like, he is the one who's kind of lived in both worlds. So he's the one that can bridge, right? And especially the mountain people.
He's very much an outsider. He's still very much an outsider.
But in terms of his own people, getting them to be like, look, you can trust this guy. I will pay you what he gives me, and we can work together to help you guys make some more money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I think Hawker
is the man.
I'm
taking Clancy. I want Clancy on my side.
I like Clancy's song.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
just
so
humming
subtle.
To himself.
He's like coming over the horizon on his horse with a horse next to him, just humming. And that's all it is. And you're just like, this is the coolest person.
It's a beautiful thing. It's deeper than just like emotional. It's like your soul.
Yeah.
He's playing the chords that resonate with your soul.
It's so good. So subtle.
I'll take Clancy.
Especially, you came around. Especially because
I didn't come around. I was trying to make an argument for Hawker.
There is argument there.
But
the humming is enough to put you over the edge.
And the fact that he is so famous and he's just going around doing what he loves.
Yeah.
And he's not too serious about it. Making fun of people, having a good time. Love Clancy.
And I just love the whole thing where he's like, actually was good friends with Jim Craig's dad. And he's like, started here. He's a good mate. And everyone's like, what? Come on now. Oh my gosh.
I will say this though. I completely forgot about Clancy.
How dare you, sir?
I remember Colonel Hawker, but I do not remember Clancy until I watched the first one. And I think that's again because we skipped a lot of parts in the movie.
Honestly, what were we doing? Our poor dad, he was like...
He's like, you're ruining the movie.
Can we just watch the movie, please?
We're like, we just want to see him go off the cliff and punch some guy's face in, okay?
This is how it is watching sports with him, too, because we all just sit and chat so much, and he's just like, will you all just be quiet so I can watch the game? Bless him. He's so patient with
us. Happy birthday, Dad.
Thank you for being patient. We need to sit down and properly watch this movie now that we appreciate it more. Okay, next comparison. What you got?
Next comparison, Mrs. Bailey versus Mrs. Darcy. We have the aunt of Jessica in the first movie, and then we have Mrs. Darcy.
No, Mrs. Bailey is not the aunt. Mrs. Bailey is the housemaid.
Oh, sorry, not Mrs. Bailey.
Right. It's aunt.
I was so...
You're good, though.
I was so ready for that, and then I was not ready.
Aunt, it's something really... I can't remember what it is, but she's the aunt that's like her governess. And who are we comparing her with?
Rosemary. Is it Rosemary?
Who the heck is Rosemary?
Hume?
Oh, yeah, it is. Aunt Hume.
Aunt Hume. Okay, yeah. There we go. Sorry, Mrs. Bailey is in the kitchen. You're like, you gave me this look, and I was like,
what's dealing with Spur?
What's wrong with you?
Spur's chasing her around the kitchen.
But 10 points to her for whacking his peg leg when he's giving her the business. But anyways, going back to Aunt Hume.
Aunt Hume.
And Mrs. Darcy in the...
Who the heck is Mrs. Darcy?
She's the one that's in the
oh,
bar.
The red-headed lady.
She's the firecracker that's
I'm taking
telling
the
people...
Aunt.
She's telling people what's up, what's for, what for. And the first, and I, before I watched it this last time, I always thought she was mad at Jim and she was trying to persuade him to not marry
Honestly,
Jessica.
Honestly, guys, we didn't properly watch this movie. I was the same way. I never understood because we skipped it.
But she's the one that's saying, go after her. And, yeah. And the other mountain dudes are saying, no, it's better this way.
Jake,
you know?
Don't even get me started on Jake.
You know, I think I can see Jake, you know. He's trying to protect people, but also doesn't care about his son getting the crud beat out of him. That
I
was a little bit sad.
Seb.
He's your own son. Oh, this is about all of our sons. And you're just like, oh my gosh, Jake. You heartless wedge.
Okay. Like I said, I'm taking Aunt Hume. I just love her. I
don't know if I could live with her.
That's
could you
fair.
Live with her?
That's fair. She's a lot to handle, but I like it. Like, I would prefer her that way. And I love her and Kurt Douglas. Like, they are just at each other's... Like, they're really tolerating each other.
What is she doing there?
She's there to help raise Jessica, because otherwise there's no women around. You have to have somebody to, like...
Well, Mrs. Bailey is there.
Mrs. Bailey is cooking. He's trying to, like, give her this, like, feminine experience and this feminine support system. But, unfortunately...
He's trying to teach her... the ways of a woman.
Yeah. But unfortunately, his sister-in-law is also very outspoken. So
very progressive.
It hasn't gone well for him. But yeah, I'm taking her.
Where did she go? Did she?
They didn't explain that. I listened very carefully and I did not hear them explain her.
I think it was on the tip of his tongue. He wanted to say something about how your aunt is no longer here, but it just never came out in the second movie.
He probably ran her out.
She probably gave him the business and walked out.
Probably. Yeah, I'm taking, I like her.
You like
and
the aunt.
And as a kid, I would watch her scenes. I wouldn't watch the other one.
Okay,
scenes.
I will take her as far as the personality and character, and I'm watching her and being entertained by her in the movie. But when it comes to who would I be roommates with or be neighbors with, definitely Mrs. Darcy.
Yeah, she's a tad bit abrasive at times, but you also kind of love her. Anyways, okay, I'm taking the aunt. Next.
Okay. The last one. Is Seb.
I love Seb. I've said it like 5 times already.
And I like the fact that his full name is Sebastian.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Darcy brings it up and he's just like, oh man, come on. This like grown man's like all embarrassed.
Thanks a lot, Dad.
Call me Seb. And then the other one is Shorey.
Oh, the guy with the mustache and the gun.
In the first movie. Which, by the way, he's got some demons.
Yeah.
Something happened in his past, something dark.
Because he sleeps with his gun and about blows people's heads off when they wake him up.
And there's some muttering going on in his dreams about killing somebody. And he's like, I've done it once and I'll do it again.
He's the character we like want a backstory on.
Yes.
Give us the history.
Maybe we want a backstory. It's one of those,
we want
you think you want it. And then when you find out, you're like, I don't want to know.
I will never see you the same.
And now
again.
I'm telling you don't want to know. But I think Seb is the obvious choice here, but Shorey, having a person like that on your side that's a little bit nuts, a loose cannon that scares the crud out of people, that's a very powerful ally.
I love just like the really quiet respect that they have for each other, him and Craig.
Just the head nod.
Yeah, it's very simple. And he says, you're welcome at my fire anytime. Like so simple. And yet it speaks volumes.
Well, and the best part,
cool.
The best part I like is Jim Craig is in the middle of this fight. The one guy grabs a broken bottle.
Yeah, I liked this
And
too.
That's when he pulls out his rifle and he's like, don't you dare put that away.
Yeah.
But then
we want
a
fair fight.
But he doesn't jump in. Even though Jim is double teamed, he's like, okay.
Do what you got to do.
You just crossed a line with the bottle.
But no weapons.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Jim takes care of business. So I love that. So the more I talk about it, and I think Seb is a nice, loyal, fun friend, but there's not much. I just he doesn't offer much. He's a caretaker of the house. He just shows up every once in a while and sits in the house.
It's like, I thought I'd come check on the house.
I've been living here for 6 months, but I just came to check on the house.
No, I like what Seb offers in terms of
his smile.
I mean,
his toothy grin and his blonde hair
and his blue eyes. No, I was gonna say I like what he offers in terms of thinking about like Jim Craig's upbringing and his background, right? Because you get this feeling that they've known each other since they were kids, and I would just love, maybe that's the story I want. I would like this like fun adventure story of him and Seb just romping around the mountains together and like the trouble you get into with the horses. So I like Seb for the for like what he offers in terms of Jim Craig's background.
I think Jim's a one-man show. I think he just I think Seb would get in the way and mess things up.
No, not when they were kids. But anyways, that was the thing that I pulled out of Seb this time. Yeah. Is I like that you get the sense that they have a lot of history together, you know, and that their families know each other well. And this is my thing with Seb, though, since we're here. Can we just talk about his dad, Jake? I feel like Jake is the one in the first movie that shows up right after Jim's dad dies and is like, yeah, the house isn't yours. And Jim's like, what the crap are you talking about? And we were laughing when we were watching it together because we were like, I'm pretty sure all of these people came up to the mountains.
He hadn't earned the right to live up in the mountains.
Yeah, he's like, you haven't earned the right to live up here by
yourself. I'm okay with that.
But we were laughing because we're like, I'm pretty sure everybody left and lived in the mountains to get away from the politics of who can do what.
Yes.
And yet here you are, you formed a committee who rides around and tells everybody who gets the right to live on the mountain. It's like having an HOA that's a nightmare. It's like, you can't live here yet. Okay. And then he's just as dumb in the second one. So I have Jake problems. He's my needs improvement if we're given grades.
That is one of the great flaws of human beings. Is no matter where we find ourselves, we have to form committees.
We do. We feel this need to like be in control of other people's lives. It makes us feel good.
But we also like other people to be a part of our controlling group.
So you're validated that what you're doing is fine.
And also, we're not the only ones accountable for acting like idiots. As long as five other people are acting like idiots, we're good.
Yeah, you're like, I'm fine because everybody's
We'll just
with
walk
me.
Around and say stupid stuff. And in the name of the committee, we are controlling everyone.
In the name of the committee. So yeah, Jake and his HOA committee or whatever he's doing. You haven't earned the right yet. That makes me, who says it? He's like, he's not a boy. He's a man.
He's a man.
He's a man.
That's Spur.
Spur.
Yep.
He's a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take that.
Well,
Jake.
I mean, Spur does question Jim Craig earlier in the movie with Clancy. They're like, you're a man, really? Okay. You don't proclaim yourself a man, Jim. Jimmy boy.
You have to earn it.
And he earned it. Okay. So anyways, going back to, I'm actually probably saying it's probably the wrong name, but the guy,
Shory,
the cattle hand, he's the tracker for Harrison.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with him. I want a crazy dude. I'm in my corner. That's going to,
I would agree with you.
Really?
I really do like Seb, but in terms of like, who you going to pick to be your backup?
You need a little crazy.
Seb is the, he's just the good-hearted buddy, you know? You feel bad for him, though, when he gets the crap beaten out of him.
You're kind of wondering, what's going on with Seb? He seems like the type of friend that needs to get out.
Well,
he
just
needs to go to college.
No, he's not that. He just needs to find a nice girl and settle down.
I don't think there are any girls up there.
I know, that's the
that's
problem.
Why they keep going down to find the girls.
There's no
girls up there.
Oh, that's funny.
Send Seb to college. He's going to become a doctor someday.
Oh, Seb would make a good doctor. Bless him.
He
got a good
fix
heart.
All of his broken bones after getting trampled.
So sad. So sad. Okay, is that all you have? Because I have one more that I thought of.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we haven't even talked about the like quote-unquote antagonists or villains of the movie. First movie, I mean, I think it's meant to be Harrison, but you have Curly, who is like the ridiculous side. But then in the second movie, you have Alistair and his dad. So how do you feel about both of those guys up
Are we
against
comparing
each
those?
Other up against each
oh,
other
oh like is in terms of unlikability?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely Alistair and his dad.
He has the most punchable face I've ever seen in my life.
There were moments where I was looking at his face and I was like, what is it about his face?
You know what, here's the thing, like,
he is so good about
logistically speaking, he's very handsome. But he has this glint in his eye that is so arrogant. You just want to smack his smirk off of his face.
Even when he's not smirking, you just want to smack him. Yeah. I mean, just there's so much arrogance.
Which is like props to the actor because he nailed it. Like he is, you get the feeling from the second you see him and you don't even know what type of a person he is yet. You get the feeling this guy is a no slime. Good slime. And Jessica should not be within 10 feet of him because he is. And of course you find out like he's got like the prostitutes in the little town and he drinks and he's just nasty guy. Gambles and just hates people. It just takes advantage of people. But it's impressive that he was able to like get that to come out of him like within seconds of you meeting.
Very believable. Oh. Very hateable.
Yeah.
Wow.
But what do you think about his dad? Maybe we should do that. Who's more hateable, Alistair or his dad?
Wow. They've got the... Oof.
I want to know who the mom
is like the
and
dream
someone
team.
Please go save her from this household.
Well, you do get a glimpse of her. She's in the buggy next to her husband. She may be a piece of work herself.
Maybe. Because the dad, we've been talking about Harrison and how he's such a loose cannon. It takes a lot for him to agree with Jessica. And yet he's met this person who is shoving his agenda down his throat to the point where Harrison's like, you know what? I'm willing to come around and be okay with Jessica going off with Jim. That seems like a good option.
The problem with the Pattons is I think it's too real.
That's fair.
I think there are people out there that it's all about manipulation. Do what I say and I will push this loan through. And
so dumb.
Like constant kind of conversation with people like that.
Yeah.
And then other people who feel like they've arrived because of the money that
the
they have, their family, dress.
And therefore they should get whatever they want. Because essentially, Alistair's beef at the end is like he has lost it because Jessica said no. Essentially, he's been rejected and he's not getting his way. And so he just decides it's okay to stab a guy in the back with a sword.
Sorry, Jessica's losing points. The fact that she even looked at the man and accepted that whatever random little flag hanky off of
the
end of
his... Well, I don't think she had much choice.
Oh, come on.
Public setting.
Jessica in movie number one would have snapped that pole in half.
That's true. She would have. I don't think she knew there was a ring on it, though. I think she was just untying it.
Was that an engagement ring?
It was.
That was a proposal?
That was his proposal.
This is so corny and stupid. Oh, I hate the public proposal. I know I have issues. There's a lot of embarrassment and fear that is just deep in my core.
Oh, Corbin.
But the fact that you put somebody on the spot.
Well, here's the thing. You would hope that a public proposal would be something where it's like, yeah, we've chatted about this beforehand and I know what your answer is. This felt like one of those situations where they hadn't even talked about it yet, and he just assumed she would say yes, which is, I think, what gives it that cringy.
And he's on the horse looking down at her. The whole thing.
It was very much like this knight in shining armor chivalry situation. Ugh. Where, like, the princess, like, gets the hanky and...
Here's 50 extra points of randomness to this character, though. When Alistair does his little cute routine...
Mm-hmm.
Jim Craig is genuinely impressed.
He is.
He's cheering for
him. Yes, he is. He's like, that was so impressive.
That was really cool.
He's like, you're very talented.
Great writing. Goes to shake his hand, and Alistair is just the biggest puke in the world.
And again, this man has just proposed, and he's off with like his drinking buddies and all this random group of girls, and they're over there like doing who knows what.
Oh, man.
And his now quote-unquote fiance is off like, I don't know. The whole thing is just bad news bears, guys. Bad news bears. Okay.
I love the drama, though. Isn't the drama great?
The drama?
Yeah.
We love the drama.
I mean, people all the time, I hate drama. No, we love it.
We love the right kind of drama.
No, I was just drinking it in. Couldn't wait for Jim to put his foot down.
I just love that his dad, this is so, you're like, oh, that's why Alistair is such a mess. Maybe the dad is the true villain here because... He's like, the reason that my son is doing all this terrible stuff is because your daughter rejected him and she has pushed him over the edge. And that's when Harrison comes uncorked and is like, no.
She let him on.
Yeah. She let him on.
Boy. Oh, Well, she kind of did. She could have put a stop to it.
I don't think he ever wanted to marry her, though.
I'm not saying that Patton's right here, but I think Jessica...
This is clearly a marriage of convenience. He does not care...
For a loan. So, why'd you guys decide to get married? Well, my dad was trying to secure a loan at the bank.
Welcome to the 19th century where women were bargaining chips. I mean, this is the reality of it. And it's really depressing.
Oh, how
and
romantic.
Pathetic.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Which is why Jessica is so ticked off at it. I love that scene where Jessica and Harrison are arguing about it. And she's like, I don't even care about them. He's like, well, neither do I. So why are we arguing?
What are we arguing about?
They're screaming at each other.
There's another point for Mr. Harrison, the father in the second movie.
So funny.
Then what are we even arguing about? It's just like, yeah, what are you arguing about?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Do we feel like we've covered characters?
Yeah, I think we've.
I want to give
We didn't talk about Spur very much. Anything you want to say about Spur?
Just that he's fantastic. And he's one of the best parts of that first movie.
I just like watching him just get beat up by his mind. I mean, rocks and timber falling on him.
And literally the mind is beating him up because the mind is a character. He has named it and he calls it a Jezebel.
Jezebel! Slam!
Oh, man. Yeah. Spur is fabulous. I love him. He's a little bit of a creepy old man at times. But for some reason,
I mind. You know, it's the late 1800s, right? Men could do whatever, right?
Yeah, isn't that the truth? The only other person I want to mention is who is the guy in the second one who, him and the jockey, works for Harrison.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like,
Suits me.
Working for you guys is like working in a meat grinder. Yeah, that guy just needs a little shout out because he did put up a lot.
Somebody locked me in the outhouse. What did he say? Someone locked me in the outhouse.
And Jessica's like,
whoops-a-daisy.
I wonder who that was. So yeah, they put up with a lot and they were very funny. Well, okay.
I don't know why I can't remember his name because...
Smithens? It's something...
Simmons!
I was so close.
Where is this jockey of yours?
Someone locked me in the outhouse. All right. Let's go
You're
on.
Sacked. You're both sacked. Suits me.
Suits me. Let's go on to rate the reviews. We both have a few reviews from both movies, Corbin. So let's start with our reviews for The Man from Snowy River. What did the internet have to say?
Okay, so this first review is Mr. Pontoon.
Okay.
1 out of 5 stars.
Oh, brace yourselves.
So boring. My English teacher made me watch it. I don't like her. I fell asleep 50 times.
Dude.
You're an idiot, okay? May I just say that, Mr. Pontoon? This is probably the most educational thing that you could have experienced in your whole educational career. Beautiful movie, amazing music, acting,
how can it be boring?
Story,
are you
horses.
Not, I mean, if nothing else, like, I mean, clearly we
What else do you want to do in school? What are you like getting? Where's the arithmetic, Mr. Pontoon?
I don't want to watch a movie.
God.
There was always that one kid, and everybody's like, shut up.
I mean, we watched like My Best Friend's Wedding, like just stupid stuff.
You watched My Best Friend's Wedding?
Just dumb.
That's not dumb.
No, compare it to this, the Snowy River. Like, are you kidding me?
But the ending kills
me. The Grinch? Like, I know some people like these movies, but like Snowy River is fantastic.
Okay, well, here's my review. This is so funny. I feel that this is like a really good 6-word review, even though it's not 6 words. Liam D has kind of like summed it up in one sentence in a very funny, very played down way. 3 stars. A decent man and pet story, but has a thrilling climax. How do you feel about that, Corbin? A man and pet movie. I mean, kind of. That's what
horses aren't pets. Are horses pets?
I don't think horses
I don't think
are
they
pets.
Qualify as pets.
I don't think so either.
What is the distinction between
this
a pet?
This is not Marley and Me. This is a You have to use it. You're using the horse as your livelihood.
It's your transportation?
Yeah.
I am curious. I need a horse lover and a dog lover to get on this podcast and explain to me why one is a pet and one is not.
Well, I think sometimes dogs aren't pets. Like if you have a sheepdog or if you have like a police dog, they're not pets, right? Like, they have a bond with their owner, but they're a coworker.
Okay.
You can't treat them like a pet where it's like, oh, you're so cute, and you like give them treats and spoil them, right? Like, they have a job to do, and you have to make sure they stay focused.
Okay.
Which I think is kind of like, there are people, I'm sure, who have horses who are like quote-unquote pets. It's like kind of more of a pastime thing.
I don't know. I just, it seems demeaning
to me. Denny is not a pet, though. That does not give him enough credit. He is a workhorse. Anyways, Corbin didn't get it. Okay.
No, I got it.
Awkward.
It hit me square in the face and I didn't like it. Okay.
Oh,
there we
man.
Go.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's a good point. You guys let us know. When is a pet not a pet anymore? When is it more than a pet? When is it a coworker?
I don't even, it's not even a coworker. It's deeper. It's met.
It, it is.
Denny is.
There is like
it's
a
like,
soul
it's almost
connection.
Like family.
Yeah. But I think there's a lot of
but
people
some
who
people would say their pet is like family, and you're just like, okay, what are you?
I don't know. I can see me being that way about a dog.
Here's the thing. This is my thing. With Denny and these horses, they can take care of their owner. I guess dogs can do that to some degree.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
So
I need
now
some help
we've
here.
Determined that hamsters and cats are definitely pets because they're not taking care of their owner. But dogs and horses are the next level, which I'm okay with because
I horses are above cat dogs.
I would agree with that. But
I don't know what that there's people are gonna be.
We
mad
don't know
about
what
this.
Levels
there's,
we're talking about, yeah. But just know that dogs and horses are above cats.
This is a new frontier for us.
Okay. All right, Corbin, your next review.
My next review. This is from Alistair.
Okay. Alistair's chiming in. I don't know if I want to hear what he has to say.
5 out of 5. Watched this as a child, and even now I think it is still brilliant. Shows the ruggedness of Australia with a great story thrown in. The skill of the men on the horses is also incredible to watch. I think this is an interesting point. He almost, I think he's kind of insinuating that this true star of the movie is the Australia mountains.
Oh, yeah.
And the scenery.
Yeah. I think so. That's first billing. Because let's be honest, if it's the man from Snowy River and Snowy River looks like Vernal, Utah, then who cares?
Wait, hold on. Be
you
nice to
I mean?
Vernal, okay? Be
okay,
nice.
I'm
There's
sorry,
some nice
you're right.
things out
there.
There
are some nice things out there. I'm trying to think of somewhere where it's like, why?
Well, this brings up an
it's
interesting...
It's just average. It can't be average. If it's the man from Snowy River, it has to be iconic and like make you feel something.
Is it because it's Australia, though? I mean, if we were in the mountains in California, would it be like, this is brilliant? Or are we kind of like, yeah,
I think for me,
we need the accents here.
At least like as a kid and stuff, like I didn't even really realize it was in Australia.
I didn't know there were mountains in Australia. Is that how dumb I am? I even watching this movie recently, I was like, where are these mountains? Like I was like pulling up a map
oh
and zooming
gosh.
In. Do they have snow in Australia? They do have ski resorts. I was blown away. I apologize
we
to our Australian friends. we're completely oblivious.
Yeah. No, those are really... I don't think for me Australia is necessarily making a difference, but it's the mountains. Like it has to be, they have to have a mood. There has to be a moodiness about them and a turbulence. Like when Jessica is describing it, she's talking about how quickly the mountains can change.
And then Jim has some one-liner about it's like a wild stallion or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, and
like that.
She's like, people are the same way.
She's like, ooh, yeah, I like
hey,
that.
Hey, what's up? Yeah.
Let's get married.
Let's. You feeling this right now? Oh, man. So yeah, I love the mountains.
I think there
movie.
Is something to say of the Australian charm, though.
Well, I think in the second movie, it gets a little convoluted because you've got British people, American people, and Australians. So it's like, as a child, I maybe that's why I was like, where are we? And I don't really care.
Where are we? No, this is purely Australia. It's like not even a question. I personally feel like
I will say,
this is one of the great Australian representations of Australia that, and maybe it's a terrible reference. Maybe Australians hate this movie. They're like, this is the worst. Like, but I think it's absolutely gorgeous, beautiful scenery.
Agreed.
The accents. Anyways.
It's like, well, the only thing we know about Australia's children was the crocodile hunter.
Well,
so
I mean,
this is like.
Yeah, like Sydney and yeah.
Yeah. So this was, you're right. This was really nice.
The Olympics.
I love the mountains. Okay. My next review is from Tom B.
Tom B.
Jim Craig himself.
All right, Tom B.
Chiming
Tom,
in.
Tom's like, hey.
I got some things to say about
this.
It's
been this a while. And,
3.5 stars.
I feel like people have forgotten about me. I need to say something crazy.
3.5 stars.
Wait, you only gave it 3.5 stars.
Only gave it 3.5 stars.
Tom's like, you know, but not my best work. I only did like 5 movies. Not my best work.
But this is what he says. Kind of makes you want to ride a horse. And I 1,000% agree. This was reminding me of a time in my life when I was like in middle school. In elementary school. And
a big time of your life. That's a lot of years.
Spirit, the Stallion of the Cimarron, was my favorite movie. Like, I loved that movie, and I wanted a horse.
Was it Bryan Adams?
Yeah, it is Bryan Adams. I do love that soundtrack.
It's a good one.
But I don't know what happened to high school me. I think you go to high school and everybody has cliques, and you're like, oh, cowboy parking lot, cowboys, like, stay away. I don't know why. But yeah, there is that part of me that's like, when I was that age, for sure wanted a horse. I would ride my bike around at top speed with the wind blowing in my hair, imagining it that was a horse. So I feel you, Tom B. It kind of makes me want to ride a horse too.
I'm willing to take the risk. It wouldn't be pretty, but I want to try and ride a horse because of this
movie.
Let's
do it. I want to ride. I mean, if Tom didn't have any experience and he was able to, like,
I am a little scared about him. I'm a little scared.
I just want to go fast.
Having an animal that big in between my legs makes me a little nervous.
I want to go fast, and
because it'll sense my fear, you know.
I just want to have that, like, emotional bond and connection.
I have heard that horseback riding is really it's really cool because you're moving. It's not like hiking where, you know, when you're like hiking this beautiful place, you're trying to look up. Our dad will say that. Make sure to remember to look up. And you look up,
yeah,
and you're like tripping over the rocks and stuff. But when you're horseback riding, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
You just ride and you're going at a different pace, seeing cool things. I've heard it's really amazing, but I don't think I'll ever experience that.
Well, and I think it's so interesting that, like, that horses, like, have a very, like, they use horseback riding in, like, therapy and stuff for people who are struggling. Like, you can have, like, a connection, an emotional connection with a horse that is very, like, intimate and soothing, which is just beautiful. Ah, this is taking me back. Oh, horses. Okay. Corbin, are you ready to move on to reviews for Return to Snowy River?
I only have, like, one review. Good. Oh, no, I have two.
Because I have several more than I should have.
Okay, I have two, actually.
Okay, I will start then because I have
I'm just going to make up one here.
Okay.
Well, this is from Elizabeth.
From Beyonce, and she loves it, so go watch this movie.
She just texted me.
Okay, my first review is from, this is again for Return to Snowy River, so we're moving on to the next movie. Adam R., he gave it 2 stars.
Adam R.
Here we go. Just as dull as the first film. I had hoped there might be some Disney magic with this one, but it ended up being one of the worst Disney movies I've ever seen. Corbin's heart is broken.
Shaking my head. Adam, what were you watching? What was he watching?
Again, how can this be dull?
Well, there's some parts in the middle where you're just kind of like, okay, there's a lot of discussion going on. Jessica, you know.
But the amazing horseback riding should make up for it. I don't know. I don't understand. And, like, the Brumbies, I do love that one shot from the first movie. They, like, zoom in on the black stallion's eyeball to show
he's
how
frozen.
Rabid it is.
The rabid horse.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's just like, oh my gosh. Okay, we get the point.
It's like red.
He's crazed. Okay, we get it. Yeah, that was a little much.
I will
but
say.
But they did not refer to that. They referred to the other components of how slow and drab it was.
Again, this is one of those times where we should look up what other movies Adam is
reviewing. We need to see that. That's my first question. What is he reviewing? Hocus Pocus 5 out of 5 stars. Great story. Such great action.
Oh my
loser.
Gosh, guys. Corbin has not
loser.
Seen that movie, and we will watch
loser.
It someday.
Okay. Loser.
Okay. In terms of the Disney magic moment, I have
seen Hocus Pocus, by the way.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Yeah. That's not an unfounded.
So it's a valid opinion.
Corbin, do you feel like there is a Disney magic moment in the second one specifically, but in the first one as well? Is there a moment in these movies that makes you feel that?
Are you kidding me?
That's why I'm asking you.
Like the opening credits, as soon as you see a picture on the screen and the music starts and the horses are galloping through the river in slow motion.
I know.
What
I
are
know.
You looking at?
I would totally agree. Totally agree.
Here's my suggestion to Mr. Adam R. or whatever. You see that square that you're holding in front of your face while you're trying to watch this movie? That thing that lights up that you swipe all the time? Put it down. Watch the movie.
Oh, and on that recommendation.
Are you kidding me? Like,
I would agree. And you know,
there's not a magic moment in this movie. The whole thing is magic.
Which is interesting because when we were originally trying to pick what movie to do, we were having this discussion of like, well, I was like, Corbin, the first one's not a Disney movie. So we have to do the second one because it's technically
Disney. It is now. It's been adopted.
But it really like both of them have that feeling in it where you're like, this is amazing. Okay, Corbin, your next review. Sorry, Adam, we really gave it to you.
And when Jim goes to his homestead at the end and does his little whoopee thing. I made that sound really stupid.
Whoopee!
Or what he's like egging his horse on. He just does a little hiss.
Yeah. Oh, I do love the hiss. Guys, the hiss is so good.
I mean, it's just a stupid little thing, but it's so amazing.
I will say one of the specific like Disney magic moments for me is when he, in the second one, when he does the course. And like,
oh, of course.
Totally kills it. With his whip. I mean, hello. Okay, we're moving on. Corbin, do you want me to go next or do you have a review?
I'm going to give Adam the benefit of the doubt. This is bugging me. It's bothering me, okay, that he would say such a terrible thing. And I'm going to assume that he was lying in the hospital after a very painful surgery, very uncomfortable.
Maybe he's allergic to horses, too.
Maybe, I'm allergic to horses.
Or maybe he got trampled by a horse. Maybe he just, it frightens him. There are people afraid of horses. So
I'm afraid of horses. And this movie transports me to another place where I'm like, a horse is a good idea, even though it will kill me.
Yeah. That's how in we are, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, Corbin. Here we go. You got it.
All right. Elriza.
Ooh, this is fun. I like that name.
3 out of 5. Quite good, period. Where in Australia was this filmed? Beautiful scenery.
Oh, there you go. Guys, the cinematography and the location. I mean, like I said, it is the man from Snowy River. If Snowy River is not someplace attractive and amazing that you want to go, then kind of what's the point?
So this movie was not shot in the Snowy Mountains, but in Victorian High Country near Mansfield, Victoria.
We'll take it. I'm horribly uneducated about Australia's geography.
Victoria is in the southeast portion of the country.
Hmm, interesting. So but Australia is far enough down that southeast would be like...
Yes, it's on the other side of the world. So it's in the southern hemisphere.
Yeah, so it would be cooler.
And the mountains are only like 7,000-8,000 feet tall. They look massive
in
the movie. And I think it's because you're starting at sea level, basically, and going up to the tip of the mountains. But there's just a little story time for you. And they have actually reconstructed Craig's hut.
They have not. It's there. Can we go on a field trip?
I would be willing to go to Australia. I don't want to fly for 20 billion hours to get there. But I'm willing to go see Victoria and see the Snowy Mountains because of this movie.
Oh, my gosh.
Like the Opera House in Sydney and all that stuff, the beaches, the coral reef.
Yeah, I don't really care.
That's
coral
great.
Coral reef, that's cool.
That's cool. But this is why I would go to Australia.
Can we take our dad? I think he would die.
I don't know if he would come with us.
I don't know, Corbin. We'll try. We'll let you guys know. We'll bring it up and see what. If we pick the right thing, I think he would.
Well, can you imagine, though? I'm sure that there's probably like 4x4s. I mean, if it's anything like America, there's probably 4x4s tearing through those mountains now, totally ruining the atmosphere. And how am
and,
I going to get
up there? Kids are like carving their initials into the side of the house. And yeah. But still, like, I would go in a heartbeat.
Kids carving their initials.
You know how them kids are.
Oh, man.
Them kids.
Oh, that generation.
That generation.
Carving in the houses.
From the 1950s. I'm going to carve my initial in the tree.
Oh, my word. No, I think they'd probably be taking selfies or something like that.
They wouldn't even be up there because it's too much work. Okay.
Oh, wow. Sorry to those young people out there.
That's right. We Zing!
We think a little bit higher of you than that.
Danielle K. gave it 4 stars out of 5.
Okay.
She said, Tom Berlinson is quite the gentleman and knows how to win his woman.
Is he a gentleman, though?
Well,
I mean, he's got style, but I don't know if gentleman comes out much.
No, I think he's a gentleman. I mean, maybe not 100% of the time, but he's very...
he's a rugged gentleman.
Yeah, which is like, let's be honest.
Even better.
Let's be honest, ladies. Like, that's what we all want. You want the gentleman, but somebody like, who's got a little edge too, right?
That's going to treat you like a person, a woman.
Yes.
Oh, and not like have a stepping stool for you to saddle to
oh my
get
gosh.
On your horse.
You totally just did a Psych quote. What is the progression of that? Sean Spencer from Psych. He says, you treat her like a person and then a princess and then a queen and then a person again. That's like his.
Yes.
That's like his stage of whateverness.
Any advice Sean Spencer gives, watch out.
Hey, he ended up with Juliet, so it all worked out. Do you have any more reviews? Because I have two more.
I have one more.
Okay, you go.
Nikki, I loved the first one. This one was like watching an episode of Neighbors with mountains and horses. An extra star for cinematography. I don't know what Neighbors is.
I don't either. But
wasn't impressed. It was 3 out of 5 stars. I was a little disappointed with Nikki and his review. Try again, Nikki. Watch the movie again. Listen to this podcast first. Go watch the movie and then rewrite your review.
The only Nikki I know is Nikki from The Great Muppet Caper.
Ooh.
With the floral socks.
Yeah, Nikki's pretty awesome.
So if that was that Nikki, I can understand it because he's kind of posh.
You get that Nikki and Alistair together.
Oh, baby.
Something's going to happen.
Ladies, run away. Okay, my next review. Becky J, 4.5 stars. Just because my favorite horse dies, the movie loses half a star. But a fabulous movie.
No, that's a good part of the movie. Death happens. It's a part of life. I'm sad. It hurts.
It hurts so much. Like I said, as a child, I couldn't even watch it happen. This is my question. How did they shoot that scene? Because I watched carefully and...
The horse does go for a tumble.
Oh,
I don't know,
on
like
the top of Tom.
Well, he broke ribs doing it. They had to stop. I'm pretty...
He did?
Yeah. The horse rolled over him. Like,
how did they do that without hurting the horse?
I don't know. I have
do
a question
love,
about
do you
that.
You love that, like, I'm like, Tom broke ribs. That's great. But is the horse okay?
Is the horse okay?
Is Denny okay?
I'm not sure how they did that. I was wondering about that. And this is back in the 80s, so I'm not sure if there
it
was...
It could have been questionable.
Like
yeah, it definitely wasn't the thing in the credits that was like, there were no horses harmed in the making of this film.
Yeah, there was definitely none of that. So I'm wondering if an extra or Elizabeth had a tranquilizer gun.
He goes to sleep midway down the mountain.
He's just like, I'm having fun. Why am I so sleepy?
Narcolepsy.
Sorry, Jim.
Sorry, Jim. I need a nap. Oh, that, yeah, Denny dying. I mean, okay, Corbin, let's do this just for fun. In terms of animal deaths in movies, I mean, you got Old Yeller. Guys, this is spoilers, P.S.
Wait, he dies?
All of these stories. Old Yeller, you've got Denny, Marley and Me.
I haven't seen that one.
I don't know. Cora in Finding Nemo.
Who else's pet dies?
This is up there. This
what
is
about,
there.
Here's a dark horse, not a real animal. It's animated. How about Ray?
Oh, from
Princess and the Frog.
That
one's okay, though, because he gets to be with Evangeline.
He does, but that one is like, it's just the way it happens. There is no dignity in getting squished under a shoe.
Yeah. I think Denny takes the cake. I mean, that's
Denny,
pretty
like I said, couldn't watch it. So, okay. My last review.
Okay.
I feel this will sum it up, and here we go. Bobby
L. Let me sum up.
5 stars.
Okay.
All he says in all caps, a lifestyle I could live. Guys, what we've learned, me and Corbin talked about this after we watched the first one. We're all living the wrong life, essentially. And we're all like...
We've screwed it up massively.
We have. Like the society that we have created has ruined this because I feel like we would all be a lot happier and fulfilled if we were living the Jim Craig life. Don't you think?
Well, I can't.
We'll get you a cow. You
I
can
need, like,
ride
a
cow.
Suit. A cow.
We were dairy farmers. It's in our blood. We'll get you a cow.
It's so humiliating. I have a Lone Ranger spirit.
Yeah.
Love Louis L'Amour.
Yeah, you do love Louis L'Amour.
Jim Craig.
I'm telling you.
It's hard for me to watch these movies and not want to just run out of the house and disappear forever.
Yeah, agreed.
And build a little cabin. And make a stupid corral in the rain.
Yeah. And think very pensively about your heartbreaking.
Oh,
he, like,
you like
pauses
that scene?
And he's like...
And then they show the scene of him and Elizabeth walking together.
Not Elizabeth, Jessica.
Oh, why do I keep saying Elizabeth?
I don't know, guys. Whenever he says Elizabeth, he means Jessica.
Elizabeth Swann. No, Jessica walking together.
Yeah, he's like fantasizing about them reuniting.
And at first, I was like, okay, I'm going to be critical here. And then I was like, wait, he's just daydreaming, okay?
The 80s does Lay weird off. Things with daydreams. They have problems.
And the eyeball of the horse. Like,
the zooming in.
Yeah, the zooming in.
He got some weird cinematography.
Yeah.
But yeah, we, I'm with you. Our family, they were, this is what they did. They were, had cows and they were farmers. They had a ranch. They rode horses. And then you got like to a couple generations in and it just like, it didn't stick. And the farm doesn't exist
anymore. Well,
that
was one side of the family. The other side of the family, very much just.
The other side of the family, like miners, like simple life, living kind of like off grid.
Do your own thing.
Yeah. And so we have this in us and we've just kind of lost touch with it. So
it speaks to me. This movie,
yeah,
totally. As it's really hard for me to explain how much I feel drawn to what is happening in these movies.
I will take this opportunity to apologize to our family and our ancestors because we need what you guys had now, and we're gonna go find it in some form because you guys had it right, and we all kind of dropped the ball. We, you know,
I'm starting to rethink my life.
Yeah. Like, honestly, we're having like an existential crisis here. It's a good existential crisis. But guys, if you see me and Corbin riding a cow and me riding my horse down the road, just like know that this movie is where it came from. Okay. Corbin.
I'm not going to be riding a cow.
We have that cowboy spirit in us, and I don't know why we put it away for so long. Okay. Oh, let's move into awards. I think we're to the point where we're ready to start summing it up. So what kind of awards have you got, Corbin, for both movies?
This is brought to you by Sanka from Cool Runnings.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, is this good award?
Oh, is this good?
Is this movie this good?
Mm.
Or has the music and the scenes...
The cinematography and the music.
The cinematography, has it brainwashed me? Because when I watch these movies, I'm like, why... Is this not just iconic? Seriously, what is wrong with me?
This is the question.
Help
though.
Me.
I'm very curious. Like I said at the beginning of this, how many of you have actually watched these movies previously, if you watched it with us this week? Like, how far spread is the love for this movie? Because I've had friends reach out to me this week and be like, this is my favorite. Like, I love this movie. And I'm just like, is it just us? Is there like a select few of us, or is this a little more widespread?
Is the nostalgia too thick and I'm not seeing things accurately? Am I giving a pass to some really awkward scenes and lines? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
But that's why I'm like, oh, is this good award? Because I feel like this should be
Here's the deal.
Way up there in terms of best movies ever. And I'm not trying to be weird about this or like, say something outrageous. I really feel that strongly about it.
I feel like the Western genre is problematic for a lot of people now. I think in terms of like, I mean, like you said, this is 1980s and Harrison flat out smacks his daughter across the face, right? Which, I mean, for the 1980s and also the like turn of the century.
Well, 1888 is when this happened.
Yeah. When it actually takes place. But I think there's some there may be problematic things. And Westerns, I think, Corbin, it's the thing that has taken us away from our roots, where I don't know what it is about, like, cowboy, ranch. It has a stigma, and I think people just stay away from it. Like, if you're not diehard, you're either all in or you're all out. And I think a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to be all in, because, like, that is a whole other thing over there. Like, kind of cheesy cowboys and all this stuff. So I think
fake cowboys.
Not even fake cowboys. Like, I'm just thinking about high school and like the way you kind of talked about the kids who wore belt buckles and had cowboy boots.
I'm sorry, but those, the man from Snowy River and those people, very different. Mountain Dew. I know you got a belt buckle, you got a horse at home.
They would eat Doritos and Mountain Dew. All the time. See, that's the thing, though, right?
Your diet is only Doritos and Funyuns. Okay, you are not a true cowboy, I'm sorry, your big, huge truck.
I think most lumbering. Of those, I think most of those kids were legit, right? Like they were doing rodeo, they were in FFA. But that's the thing, right? Is like we have these.
Jim Craig is totally different. That's a totally different species.
Okay, so would you call Jim Craig a cowboy then? Like, is that the right category? Like, is John Wayne and Jim Craig, are they in the same?
No. John Wayne is that's different. That's still different. That's fake cowboy. Jim Craig to me is like,
it's authentic.
I am getting my horses. I'm herding them around the country, getting myself a start.
Really? So you would be
I've got this cabin all secluded by its, that to me, that's cowboy.
Okay. So maybe Australians do it better than Americans do.
We ruined it. We had this cowboy thing going on in the old West and we ruined it.
No, I think we just,
anyways, whatever.
I think there's a stigma that comes with it, which was what kind of chased us away from our roots, right? Is this unfortunate, like we just kind of got judgy about it, but we kind of just need to own it and do it the Jim Craig way.
Yeah. Okay.
I am nominating this movie for best score. Like you said, score and cinematography. If this movie doesn't have the score that it has, it's not the same. And the score is unique. It doesn't feel like anything else. I cannot think of another movie that sounds like this movie. Because John Williams, all of John Williams' stuff, you can tell it's him.
Oh, the French horns. Do you hear the French horns?
Do you hear the horns? And like Hans Zimmer, he has like a signature. You can tell it's him. I have never heard anything else in a movie that sounds like this. And I love it. So.
It's celestial.
For that...
Oh.
Even my terrible doing is
your impression. I don't care even if it's in the ballpark. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's pretty good, guys. And then I also have a nomination for best mustache, which goes to Clancy. He has to be on the board.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Because he's one of those guys.
He's
where
not a Disney mustache, though.
He's technically not.
He's not. If he was in the second movie, maybe, but not.
Corbin's making fun of me because that was me. But he's one of those guys where I kind of don't want to see him without a mustache. Like Tom Selleck. You're like, Tom Selleck, he's got to have
the mustache. I don't care. Whatever. Like, I mean, the only mustache I care about is Evan Rude. So.
Oh, my gosh. Whatevs. Okay. Any other awards, Corbin?
I do have an award. It's the Spry Guy Award.
A Spry Guy.
This goes to Kirk Douglas in the first movie. He's in his mid-60s when they're filming this sucker. Did you see him gallop onto that?
That's impressive. He passed away last year. That's how old he was.
2020.
Oh, it is 2022. Sorry.
Yeah, he was 103.
That is so crazy.
He looked 103 too, so bless his heart.
Every year, he was feeling every year.
But we're getting way off track here.
I'm sorry.
But when the folks from all over, they come together to go find his cult, to chase down the cult.
Yeah.
He comes out of his house and he just really jumps up onto that little carriage to stand up and give his announcement.
Yeah.
I was very impressed.
Which,
so Spry Guy Award.
These, like the actors, the main actors here, they're not horsemen first. And so I feel like if I gave it a few months, I could be jumping on my horse. You know what I mean? It gives you hope. You're like, if these actors pulled it together and made it look so natural,
can
maybe
we just gotta
I
get you
too.
A horse, okay? That's all there is to it. You don't have an excuse.
I gotta get a
dog
first.
I have an
first.
Excuse.
Dog first, then horse.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Mom, you want to know? Our mom actually, today, she said, maybe we should get you a dog. I don't know what that says about, like, my social life.
Camry, I think you need a dog.
My mom's just like, someone help this poor child. But she flat out did say that, so.
Wow. That's big.
My last award is just for the Disney magic moment. I mentioned one of them, which was the first part of Return to Snowy River where he does the course better than Alistair. But you named the other one too. Jim riding back into the mountains with the dang music playing. All I need is him riding his horse with his house with the music. And I...
Wait, his horse? He's with his horse.
He's riding his horse.
With his house.
He's got the house in the background.
Oh, okay. I was like, what is he, like, pulling his house along on a little
ridiculous
trolley?
But with the music and sold. Done. That's the Disney magic moment. You wouldn't think there would be one in this movie, guys. There is.
I don't think there is a moment. It's the Disney magic movie. The whole thing.
Which is interesting because you're like, I bet you Disney watched this and they're like, these guys have got our vibe. Which is why they were like, let's make another one.
Oh, yeah.
They were on the same page with them. All right, guys. I mean, this is going to be kind of anticlimactic. We're going to rank this, both of them, separately.
I'm curious because I'm looking at your list, Camry, and I think this is awful what you've done with your ranking list.
You've already looked at what I did?
No, I'm looking at Chronicles of Narnia number one.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
I love that movie.
Okay,
are
I don't care.
Me?
Are you like comparing it to this? I'm just like, not a question.
No, I've got all the feels for that movie. I can tell you right now, yours is going to be so high. Mine is not as high as yours, but it's higher than I
what
thought.
What is wrong with you?
I thought it was higher than I thought.
Mine's going number one. It beat out Mary Poppins.
Which one is number one, though? We have two movies.
They're both number one. One,
no,
two, one to, A, one
no, no,
B.
No. You have to put one ahead of the other. You have to say
Return is number one.
So you do like
the
Return
The Man
better.
From Stony River is number two. I just like him beating the crud out of Alistair. That's great.
Okay.
And also the when he runs the course.
When he runs the course. It has a lot of iconic moments in the second one. Okay. I had a hard time determining which one I liked better.
I still can't believe this. I'm stunned.
Hey, they both made my top 10.
I'm looking at your list, Chronicles of Narnia. I don't care how special it was to you in high school or grade school or whatever school you were in.
Gosh.
I'm stunned.
Here's the thing with Chronicles of Narnia, guys. If you
judgment.
Miss, if
judgment.
You, I know, Corbin's so judgy. If you missed that review, it was like a complete matter of taste. Like, Corbin, that movie was not for him because a lot of like the symbolism and stuff, it was just he was not a fan of it. I love symbolism and I loved the whole thing.
Hold on. I'm going to run through a few movies here.
Can I tell you where it's at first so you know where to compare it with? I put The Man from Snowy River at number 9 and Return to Snowy River at number 8. So now you can go ahead and rip apart my list. They both made the top 10.
I just can't believe Mary Poppins, Blackbeard's Ghost, Miracle, Cinderella, and Chronicles of Narnia is number one. Whatever.
To each his own, Corbin. To each his own. So yeah, these both, I'm honestly shocked. I did not think they would crack my top 10, but they both did.
Here's my reasoning for number one.
Okay.
As I said, started the movie. As soon as I saw something in the movie and heard the music, I started smiling.
Oh, that's sweet. I like that. And you don't do that very often.
And may I apologize? This is an apology to our dear, sweet sister-in-law. When I was in college, I wanted to learn Jessica's theme on the piano, and I played that sucker every day for months.
Guys, I will say this.
And I never got better at it. I was still terrible at it, but I was so determined to learn that stupid song. So I apologize for making you listen to that. Me hammering away at the keys trying to learn that song. But it's a beautiful song.
Literally played that song yesterday. Because I had to.
And then I played Chronicles of Narnia.
I have very few songs like in my piano playing, under my piano playing belt. That is one of them. And it is a classic that I will always go back to. Because it is so, like, it's on my level. It's not too hard, but it is so powerful.
You sound like a really good pianist when you play it. It's not super crazy hard.
As long as you can use the pedal, you feel like a concert
You're
pianist.
You're just like, I am amazing.
Given we do use the simplified version.
Yes, like, it's very simple.
It's like
plucking away at the keys.
No, it's not plucking. It's not that bad. But yeah, it makes you feel like a really good piano player because it is so pretty. Oh,
and
guys.
You can like speed it up and slow it down.
Yeah, you can get
you're
into
just,
it.
You can move your body to the music and you're just like, wow,
guys,
why
I'm
don't
gonna
I
go
do
home.
This?
It's like 11:30. I'm going home and playing this song. And my parents are going to think there's like a ghost in the house or something. There's like this quiet tinkling piano music in the background.
Can I come listen? I want to come listen. Oh, boy.
I played it yesterday. I had to.
Well, I'm going to say this. We're going to wrap this up. This was a longer episode, one of our longest episodes yet.
But it is a double feature.
And I'm okay with it. I'm not going to apologize. Love these films. They're fantastic. And I'm grateful, very grateful. And I don't know why, but I'm grateful that our parents had us watch these movies.
Yeah, I would agree.
It's a beautiful thing. It's something when I was watching, I was like, I need to share this with my kids because the music, everything we talked about, it's just amazing, amazing storytelling. everything.
It's
just beautiful.
It's the horses, guys. It's the horses. Okay.
Okay, there you go.
Anyways, next week, it is April Fool's, so we will be talking about the worst plot twists in Disney.
And the best.
And the best plot twists in Disney film. So, if you're looking for some jokes and some plot twists, we got you covered for next week. Completely different tone than this week. But guys, go watch these movies if you haven't. This has been another episode of The Neverland Files. Subscribe and review and join the conversation over on Instagram at The Neverland Files. Thanks for listening.